Thanks for listening to the Beyondcast, the only podcast from Beyond Student Ministries located in Seattle, Washington. We're all about faith, mission, and reality.
Father, thank you for just being so amazing. Father, this song talks about your grace and how great it is. And so, Father, as we transition and look into the Word, God, I pray that we would see that we are supposed to be instruments of grace, that we take your Word and your love and your peace to the world around us. So, Father, help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Can I sit here? Can I sit here? All right. I am going to show up. No, Takshi's got it. I'm going to show a video, so at one point I'm going to need you to just sit down. In fact, let's just do the video now. How about? No, because I really don't want to do that. And
really bad?
No, it's I thought it's funny. No, no. No, hey, Jordan, can you throw me the remote underneath you?
Are we going to watch that stuff?
Yes, we are going to watch pizza.
Ooh,
almost knocked Hannah's head off. All right. I don't know what that is, but...
Cop drama.
Oh, whoops. Too far. All right. Oh, how many of you guys have had different people tell you what evangelism is? Like, have you had somebody, like, give you, like... thanks. Have you had someone, like, give you, like, these are the steps that you need to do to close the deal? Have you had anybody... Yeah. Or anything like that? See, that drives me crazy because it makes us look like salesmen. And we're not really supposed to be salesmen, like this guy. I thought this was kind of funny. Yeah, so I thought that was fun, guys. I have been to evangelism training that has been like that. It's like, find a mate to, and then, you know, just make sure that you make it a sales pitch.
Professor Malcolm.
Yeah, Professor Malcolm. Yes.
I have a comment. I was at the fair yesterday.
Puyallup Fair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's two guys outside with big signs saying, like, God hates sin and Jesus loves you and it's the only way to heaven and stuff, and I talked to them and asked them like a whole bunch of questions. I don't know.
What question?
Cliche questions.
Oh.
And
stuff. That would have been funny if we were there.
Yeah. So thanks for sharing that with us, Jeff. Appreciate it. Okay. Anyway, but like that kind of like mentality about evangelism, it just doesn't work. Let me share with you my horror story about evangelism. I took a class in college called Evangelism.
Crazy.
Evangelism 101 with Professor Malcolm.
Yes.
And the final grade in the class was your evangelism project, which was find one person and do everything you can to make them a Christian. And it's just like, really? Because I didn't know anybody who wasn't a Christian, because I, like, you know, was at Christian school, and I, you know, went to church, and so all the people, so I went to work, and I was like, well, who is here that's not a Christian at work? And there's a lot of people, but I didn't know anybody yet, because I just started, and so I went to my cubicle mate, Aisha, and I tried to make her my project, and it was horrible. She didn't, you know, convert. And she didn't repent, like, right there in our cubicle or anything. And it was just, like, the whole time, instead of building a relationship with her, looking at her as a project. And that is the wrong thing to do. That is not how evangelism is supposed to be. And, you know, if anybody ever tells you that, you know, make sure you got, like, you know, a project that you're working on. Or this friend of mine, he's a project. You hear that kind of talk? Man, that's not good. That's not good talk at all. And so instead of, like, project... oriented like this guy, I want to look at some like kind of ways that we can look at evangelism that are more lifelong and more natural for us. Does that make sense?
Did you pass the class?
Yeah, I passed the class, but it was
easy A.
It's an easy A, but it's like just a dumb project. But so grab a Bible. There's a whole stack of Bibles right there, a whole slew, and we're in places tonight. So we'll be kind of jumping around, but if you don't have a Bible, watch the pop. If you don't have a Bible, you should always bring a Bible to church, to youth group, whatever. Because there's another one. There's a whole bunch right there, bud. Whole bunch. All right. So one of the things that I found was that the guy came, like, if you think back, they knock on the door, the guy knocks on the door, and they're like, we didn't order a pizza. And a lot of times when we try to evangelize, we try to give somebody something that they don't want.
Like pizza.
Like if you're not, if you're full and you don't want pizza, then they're not going to want it. And same way with evangelism. If somebody does not know that they need the God, going up to them and go, hey, let me give you 4 steps to peace with God. They'll be like, no thanks, I'm good. And so instead of like that sales pitch and just empty like that, like nothing relationship and anything, we need to build on life. So last week we prayed for our friends, remember that? And we prayed for people specifically. And I want to close again and pray that way again, that we can just keep praying for people that... But the people that you know are the people that you already have an in relationship with. And they're the people that God has called you to. And so you don't go up to them and go, hey, like tomorrow, hey, Billy, you know, I know normally we just, you know, do study hall together and whatever, but, you know, you need to convert now. But, like, start building a relationship and start, like, just... And so the first passage we're going to look at is in Psalm 19, which is kind of in the middle of your Bible, in the Old Testament. And oh, good job. You beat me to get there. Psalm 19. Wow, it's taking me forever to get there. Hot tub. Last week it was... This week we're gonna go with parousia. All right. No, it doesn't. Which means rapture. Yeah, it was. All right. So let's jump in verse 1 of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. Skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. So, this passage is saying that all of creation displays God's goodness. That everywhere displays the God. And so instead of being salesmen who just want to give you a pitch and move on, we need to be detectives who look at the world and see evidence of God. And so like think back to your friend's life and like the stuff that they're going through. And God is moving in their life even if they don't know it. And God's moving in your life even if you don't know it and you don't realize it. And look at, you know, this life journey of evangelism as being a detective that reveals God's goodness and evidence of His greatness. Then you need to start looking at your friends' lives and say, you know, when this happened, maybe God was trying to get your attention. Or, you know, maybe, I don't know all the answers, but maybe, you know, God's telling you something. And maybe we can talk about this. And so, like, say your friends are going through, not them personally, because hopefully they're not married in high school. But, yeah, that's horrible. But, yeah, or sixth grade, that'd be even worse. But if they're going, their family's going through a lot of pain, you know, in the midst of all of that, God can still get their attention. And so how are we going to go about and show them God's goodness? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So instead of detectives, all right, I got another one. First Peter, chapter 3, which is towards the back. Go to Revelation, towards the back, and turn left. Parousia. No, we'll go with, what's that? Lobotomy. First Peter, chapter
3.
Parousia.
Yeah.
All right, and we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 16. 1 Peter 3. 15 through 16. And this one is, instead of salesmen, we need to be tour guides. All right? So let's look at verse 15. If you're not in here, what I'm saying. All right. Verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I just like saying slander, so I went... Oh. And so, how many of you guys have ever gone to, like, Disneyland? Anybody, Disneyland? Have you done any of the tours at Disneyland? Like, you go on... Your uncle works there?
Yeah,
I get free. Nice. I should talk to you about that. But there's, like, a jungle boat tour. Have you guys done that? It's, you know, it's kind of lame,
but...
Yeah,
That's at Disneyland. Yeah. So anyway, but the guys on the tour boat, they're like, they can answer all kinds of questions, and like the whole thing is they go through this route every day, so they know it all. But they don't just like go and like, oh, that's a tiger, oh, that's a bird. You know, they tell you a little bit more about it because they know that that their knowledge gives you joy. You know, you don't go on the ride to be, you know, both times it ends up that way, but that's not the hope. And like everybody at Disneyland, they don't call them like employees, they call them cast members. And so everybody there is there to bring you joy, which is really kind of cool. And so instead of just like going, hey, I'm Tigger, they're like, they'll actually be Tigger. And they'll show Tigger, and they'll be like Tigger.
And they bounce off
the tail. And
they wear costumes, so
and
they don't look like weird people who try to act like.
They don't just like sit on their butt and like, I'm not jumping.
Like, you're just an old creepy man.
Right. But, wow. But, like, or have you guys ever done any other kind of tour where, like, there's a guy talking about the trip? Like, yeah. You know, those guys, sometimes they're, like, kind of lame, but at the same time, like, they know a lot and they want you to know this stuff. And so they'll be like, oh, over there is the, it's really cool. It was built for the World Fair back in 18 something something. And they're trying to give you all this kind of great information and take you along a journey. And so as we are going through life, I mean, our life really is a journey. It really, wherever we go, it's a trip, you know, to every destination, a journey. Anyway, that was just a video that was in my head. What are you telling people as you live your life? How are you being a tour guide to your friends who are watching you? Your friends watch you all the time. And I mean, that's kind of nerve-wracking because, like, Yeah, your friend, like, Chuck is in your room, just like, I'm just checking out how you're sleeping. no, but they're always watching you because they want to see, like, how you live. And Peter here is saying, I'm able to give a reason for how you live and for what you believe. And so people will ask you questions. People will want to know more about, like, what you're doing if you're living an authentic Christian life. And our goal, our mission, is to just be there to tell them answers. To tell them why. And if we don't know answers, to say, hey, let's find that out together. Let's figure out why I do this. And why, you know? And so instead of being a salesman, be, or saleswoman, whatever, be a tour guide. Go take the, tell people as you go along your journey. Does that make sense? All right.
Kinda.
Where are you confused? Okay. All right. And then last one is go turn to Ecclesiastes, which is in the Old Testament. It's after Psalms.
Which
you're not even
chapter?
Flipping the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes. Parousia. Ecclesiastes. Whatever. It's
which is after Psalms.
Yeah.
So it is after.
Sorry. Yeah. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you guys are ever going through like a hard patch in life, and you want to like see like is there any meaning to life, read Ecclesiastes, because honestly the whole book is meaningless except for Jesus. Yeah. But, I mean, it really brings out, like, all the stuff that people chase after and everything. It's like, man, it just doesn't fulfill, but God does. And so it's kind of a good reminder. Anytime I feel down, I go to Ecclesiastes, and it brings me joy.
Sadness?
No, it brings me joy, actually. If I want more sadness, I read Lamentations. The whole city is destroyed. All right, what I want to talk about is instead of salesmen, we need to be partners. Okay? So, Ecclesiastes 4, starting in verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, like in forest night. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And instead of salesmen who just like want to close the deal, we need to be partners. And the thing about partnership is that you're personally invested in the other person's success, in a good partnership. Like, you come together, we'll succeed together. And so in this book, in Ecclesiastes, the writer, Solomon, is saying, like, two people are always better than one. And if you're going through life by yourself, that's a whole nother thing. And man, you need people to support you. And that's why you staff are here. That's why, you know, all of us are here, is to support each other and to be, you know, more than just friends, but to be spiritual partners. So, but as we look at evangelism, how many of your guys' friends have ever just gone through just crap? You know, like just really, like, well, sometimes. And you got to support them through that. It's like, it's okay, we could get a hose, wash that off. But, you know, they just go through just crap in life, and who's there to support them? Often, nobody. Unless you do it. There's something about following Jesus that makes you, that should make you care for other people more than you did without following Jesus. And so if you see people who are hurting, your friends who are struggling, be their partner and help them get back up. If one man falls, his friend can pick him up. It's that kind of mentality that I think truly brings people to Jesus. When everything else went wrong with me, all my other friends abandoned me, but Max was there for me. You know, it's that kind of thing. Like, it sounds like, oh wow, that's so like Lifetime movie of the week special. But honestly, yeah, the O Network. It's honestly what God is calling us to do, is to be there for people who are hurting. And you guys remember the passage in whenever you give like a glass of water to someone who's thirsty, or visit someone in prison, or clothe the naked, you've done this for me. And they're like, well, what? How did we do that? It's like, no, I was there with them. Because Jesus is with your friends when they're going through crap. Jesus is there with them when their parents are fighting. Jesus is there with them when they're not doing well in school. Jesus is there with them when their girlfriend is there with them. And he wants us to help them. He wants us to be their partner and bring them back and bring them to wholeness. So instead of a salesman who just, you know, if you're not going to buy, I'm just going to go on to the next deal. We need to be there through thick and thin, through all the garbage of life, to show them that, you know what, I don't care so much if, you know, I don't care if you know what that I love you. And this is where it gets really cliche, but people honestly don't care how much you know, and if anybody can finish it, go ahead, until they know how much you care. Yeah. You never heard that before? Oh, I was like, wow, dude, you must be new. No, but honestly, people really don't know. So if you like can give like all the Romans Road and the 10 spiritual laws and the 4 steps to peace with God or whatever they are, you know, then you, that's cool for you. But your friends don't really care about how much you know until they know how much you care. So go through the trial, go through the crud, and be there for them. You know, and that's when it gets hard, and that's when it gets messy, and that's when it gets really frustrating sometimes. And you make your friend different, but they won't. Because they got to go through stuff themselves sometimes. But you can be there for them. Does that make sense? So instead of salesmen, we need to be partners. And that's the whole thing. That's I want evangelism, and I care about your friends. I don't know your friends, but I care about them. And I want them to know Jesus. But I don't want you to school tomorrow and just be like, hey, I have these tracts. And how many of you guys know what tracts are? Anybody? All right, good. Those are basically saying, here, you throw this away for me. You know, honestly, like
flyers.
Yeah, like flyers. Tracts are not what's going to change lives. Your relationship with people will change lives. Because your relationship will reveal your relationship with Jesus. And so that's the journey with your friends, and that you would show God's goodness, and that you would just do life with them. So, does that make sense? All right, thanks, Lydia. I'm glad you got it. So this is what I want to do. I want to pray for our friends again. And we're going to just go around and popcorn prayer again, like we did last week.